We make you all welcome to our service this Sabbath morning, especially to those who are visiting with us. Our evening service will be at 7:30, and that's preceded by a prayer meeting at 7:10. And the March issue of the Covenanter Witness is available. It's on the table in the vestibule. On Monday, the monthly online prayer meeting via Zoom is being held from 7:30. The details are on the announcement sheet. There'll be no midweek meeting in Kilrats this week as we plan to support the guest services in Clough Mills on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday at 8 o'clock when the speaker will be the Reverend John Woodside. Next Lord's Day, our Sabbath school classes at 11 o'clock and a morning prayer time at 11:30, and our service at 12 noon will be led by the Reverend Peter Jemfrey, and also the evening service at 7:30. The men's fellowship will meet next week on Tuesday, the 19th of March at 8 o'clock. Now, the list of members, adherents and subscribers in the Blue Book, we're asked to contact Harold if your contact details need to be amended, either phone numbers or whatever. And there's still a few of the annual general meeting booklets available, and if you didn't get one, they're still there to be collected. I'd like to welcome the Reverend Philip Murphy to our pulpit this morning and ask him to lead us in worship.
It's a privilege to be with you this morning. I can't remember the last time that, well, I can remember the last time I preached in Kilrats, but I can't remember when it was. So it's a good wee while since I've been here. But it is a privilege to be with you this morning. So let's worship God, and let's begin by singing to his praise. Our opening psalm is number 42. Psalm number 42. I'm going to use the stanzas 1 to 5, and the tune is Beatitudo number 50. Just as the deer for water pants, I long, O God, for you. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I God's face view? If you come to church this morning with a thirst, a real desire to taste the Lord, to know him, to worship him, and to be blessed by him. That was the psalmist's desire. Like a thirsty animal, he came to worship God. He says, my tears have unto me been food both in the night and day, while unto me continually, where is your God, they say. Poured out within me is my soul when this I think upon, how often with the multitude I eagerly had gone. Psalm 42, then, the stanzas 1 to 5. Let's stand to offer our praise and remain standing for prayer.
Thank you.
goodbye in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with a desire to worship you. However, O Lord, when we look at our hearts, when we examine our inner selves, we recognize how sinful we are. How can we, sinful people, come to worship a thrice holy God? But we thank you, O Lord, that this morning we can do that. Not because of any perfection in us, not because of anything that makes us worthy, but because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Father, we thank you this morning for Jesus. We thank you for his perfect life. We thank you, Lord, for his sin-atoning death, for his resurrection into glory after being crucified and rising from the dead. And Lord, the fact that he sits at your right hand today, and there he makes atonement for us and intercedes for us. And so we come to you to worship you today in the name of Jesus. And we pray, O Lord, for your blessing upon us in our time. We pray that you will send your Holy Spirit into our midst. And by your Spirit, you will direct our thoughts. You will lead our minds. You will teach us from your word, making your word a living word that speaks to our hearts as we spend this time together today. Forgive all of our sins. Wash and cleanse us of our righteousness. Guard us against the evil one who would seek to lead our thoughts astray. And help us, Lord, to worship you well this day. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning you will find in the book of Luke, chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And we'll read from the first verse. And this is God's living word. Now it came to pass as he, that is Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen. We end our reading here at this verse, and we pray that God would indeed apply this word to our need today. Again, we shall sing praise to God. We turn this time to Psalm 127. Psalm number 127. We sing all of the psalm, and the tune is Syracuse number 166. Unless the Lord will build the house, the builders toil in vain. Unless the Lord the city keeps, the guard will watch in vain. Your rising early is in vain, late hours you vainly keep. To eat the bread that's gained by toil, he gives his loved ones sleep. Now sons are from the Lord a gift, the womb's fruit his reward. The sons of youth as arrows are for strong men's hands prepared. Oh, happy is the man who has his quiver filled with those. They in the gate will not be shamed when speaking with their foes. Psalm 127, and let's stand to praise God. At this point, we will worship God with our offerings. Thank you. We'll sing again to God's praise. Our psalm is 102, the B version of the psalm. And we sing stanzas 1 to 5 of this portion. The tune Umbersley, number 23. Thou shalt arise, and mercy yet thou to Mount Zion shalt extend. Her time for favour which was set, behold, is now come to an end. Thy saints take pleasure in her stones. Her very dust to them is dear. All heathen lands and kingly thrones on earth thy glorious name shall fear. Psalmist here is looking forward to a time when the whole world will bow before the Lord. And of course, we know that that day will be when the Lord returns to this earth in all of his glory. Stanza 3, God in his glory shall appear. When Zion he builds and repairs. We're not talking here about building again Jerusalem or some other worldly city. We're talking about the church of Jesus Christ, which he builds. And on that day when he comes, he will repair it. He will make it perfect. He shall regard and lend his ear unto the needy's humble prayers. The afflicted's prayer he will not scorn. All times this shall be on record, and generations yet unborn shall praise and magnify the Lord. Psalm 102b, we sing these first 5 stanzas, and after the singing, remain standing for prayer.
Thank you.
Almighty God, we thank you for the words of this psalm. We thank you for the promise that it carries, the promise of a day of glory when Christ will return, a day, O Lord, where every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, as we look forward to that day, we do so with anticipation and hope. But in the meantime, Lord, we have to fight the good fight. We have to keep on keeping on with you. And so we come to you today and ask that you will help us as we endeavor to do this. Almighty God, we thank you that day by day you feed us and clothe us. We thank you for all the other generous provisions that you make for us. And Lord, we thank you that we can come here into this meeting place and offer you our praise and bring our prayers. Lord, our needs are great. And we lay those needs before you now. And we pray for your people in this congregation. Lord, we pray indeed that you will bless them and keep them, that you will make your face shine upon them and be gracious unto them, that you will lead them in your paths, you will direct them in your ways. Remember the older folks, Lord, who feel bodily weakness an issue and who from day to day look to you for strength. We know that you are the strength giver. Lord, uphold them and keep them, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for every family. And we pray for the parents in each household, that you will grant to them health and strength, and that you will give to them wisdom and direction, so that in the decisions that they make, that, Lord, they will steer their families to you. Lord, help them to teach their children the things of God and the ways of God, that those children will grow up to love God and serve him. And Lord, we pray for every one of those children. We thank you for them. We thank you for the gift of health and strength given to them. And we pray, Lord, that you will direct them in right paths continually. Keep them safe. Help them to grow and develop, but above all, help them to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Father, we look around us at a society that has gone astray. We are perturbed, Lord, at that younger generation who are melting away from the Church of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you will stop that from happening here, that you will encourage the young people to love the Lord and have a desire to serve him and to worship him and to be part of his church. And we thank you too, Lord, for the wider work of your church. We thank you for the conference yesterday where there were so many young families in attendance. And we thank you, Lord, for the things that they were taught, and we pray you will bless those to their spiritual need. And we ask, O Heavenly Father, that all the other plans that are laid for similar meetings and other get-togethers of the church, that you will bless all of these and use them to strengthen your people for this great struggle that we are in. And we pray for our land in these days. We pray, O Lord, for an outpouring of your Spirit on this nation, and that by your power, Lord, people would be awakened to their sense of need, to their sinfulness, and their need of a Savior. Oh, Lord, we pray that you will do this in our day, that you will bring a tremendous revival once again, that, Lord, people would turn away from their sins, turn away from the iniquities that they follow, and follow Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, hear our prayer and bless us as we turn to your word. Make it a living word that speaks to our hearts today. And we ask all in Jesus' name, amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 7, we read, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" This morning, I want to look for a short time at Matthew 6 and verse 11. Short verse, one very familiar to you. "Give us this day our daily bread." Part of the Lord's Prayer that we have all probably learned off by heart. A prayer that we probably quite often bring to the Lord. But what is it that we're asking for here in this portion? What are we praying to God for? And why do we need to do it every day? These are questions we want to try and answer this morning. You've said that line many times, I am sure, but do you really understand what Jesus means by teaching us to ask for these things? The first thing I want you to note about this verse, it's not immediately obvious to you, but this verse is teaching us, first of all, that we have a great God who supplies our every need. Our supplier, God. Now, for you to see it, you have to understand a little bit of Greek. I don't understand an awful lot of Greek, but there's one word here that's important for us. The Greek word that is translated, give. It's a second person singular verb. You all understand that, don't you? Yes? You're better than me then. Well, let me try and explain. It means that there is an understood you in front of the verb. Okay. So, give us. That's what we're used to saying. But what we're actually saying is, you give us. And it's in the context of the prayer we've been praying to our Heavenly Father. It's our Heavenly Father who is to give us. And we need to think about that. Because the prayer is organized like this to remind us that we're talking to someone in this prayer who has the power to do anything we can ask him to do. This Father that we pray to is one with whom we have a very special relationship. Our relationship with him is not like any other father, son, father, daughter relationship. Our relationship with God comes about because of our saving faith in Jesus Christ. On that day when we come to the Lord and confess our sins and ask for Jesus' salvation, we enter into the family of God. We are adopted as his children. He is, from that day, our Heavenly Father. And this Heavenly Father that we have longs for us to build our relationship with him. He wants us to get to know him for what he truly is. And he is first and foremost the God who is able to supply everything that we need. So we are to come to him with that attitude of mind. This is my loving Heavenly Father, and he alone is able to supply everything I need. Children come to their father when they need or want, probably is a better word, when they want something. Daddy, can I have? That's how we come to God. Daddy, can I have? But you see, this God is different. This Father in heaven is different because the Son comes to his Father and he says, Father, that old tractor we have, it's done. We need a new one. And the Father looks at him and says, well, if you can afford to get one, that's all right, but I can't. There's a limit to what Daddy can do, isn't there? But there is no limit to what God can do for us. God can do whatever we need to be done. Now, do we deserve these blessings from God? No, we do not. But our God is a gracious God. He doesn't deal with us as we deserve. He shows us mercy and love and kindness. He is the perfect Father. And so we come to him with that mindset, that understanding that he is God, that he has the power to do whatever he wants to do. He loves me, and what I need, he has the power to give to me. I want you to picture the child coming to the father. And the child comes along and tugs at the father's leg. He's about to ask him for something. What does the father do? He bows down to the child to hear better what it is that the child is asking for. The Bible tells us that that's what God does for us. He bows his ear to hear our prayers. What a beautiful picture. A God who is so mighty and so powerful. A God who is so involved in every aspect of his creation. And yet when one of his little children come to him, he bows his ear to hear. The Almighty God bending down to listen to the desires of our hearts. Folks, we live in an age of the prosperity gospel. There are those who teach from pulpits today that God is sitting there waiting to make you rich. And the only thing that's wrong is you haven't asked him for it. Or you haven't got rid of all the sin out of your life. God wants to make you a millionaire, just you go after it. And if you believe well enough, strong enough, hard enough, he'll give you it. That's not the God that we pray to. He's not like that. Such a God would be a pitiful God. Our God is beyond that. He says to us, You come to me and you ask, give us. And if while you're doing that, you picture this mighty, all-powerful God who is bowing down his ear to hear you and he's listening for your desires. And leave aside your selfishness and your longing to be rich and all these other things that people peddle at you and ask him for what you need. Put aside your selfish wants. Lord, give me what I need. You remember that. You remember the God whom you're praying to. He is our great supplier God. The second thing that I want you to think about here today is this. Understand the extent of your need. Now, understanding the extent of our need is a problem in our modern well-off society. There's an older generation here today. I'm part of that older generation. And we can remember days when things weren't as good, as luxurious as they are today. Times whenever you had to make do and mend. Times when you were glad of hand-me-downs and so on. But it's not like that today. And because society is so well off today, they struggle with understanding what it is they really need. Do you understand the extent of your need today? Your cupboard is full of food. You can't get the freezer lid properly closed. You have a few pounds in the bank. You have a steady paycheck every month. Do I really need to come to God every day and ask him for my daily bread? Yes, you do. Because you don't know whether that bread will be there for you tomorrow or not. A reality check, folks. Move yourself to Ukraine or Gaza for a moment. 2 years ago, the people of Ukraine had their cupboards full. Nice houses to live in, things were going well. And all of a sudden, the invader had come, the bombs were falling, their doors were being kicked in. And we watch those pictures of the destruction in Gaza. And who's to know what will happen tomorrow to any of us? You cannot take anything for granted. We have an abundance. But only because God provides it. And if for some reason he decides, I'm not doing it anymore, what do you do then? You see, the idea of this petition is to remind us that we are completely and totally and utterly dependent upon God for the very air we breathe. And we should never take these blessings for granted. Because here's the problem. People become so self-sufficient that they don't understand how much they need God. The fact is that everything that you and I rely on every single day could be gone in an instant. The only reason we have any of these blessings is because we have a merciful God who pours out his common mercy and grace upon the nations of the world. It's crazy how whenever there's some shortage mentioned. A few weeks ago there was a mention there was going to be a shortage of tea bags. And the next time that Sandra and I went to the shop, the tea bags were all sold. I think that actually there was too much tea and they were trying to get rid of a bit of it. But that's people are so self-sufficient. And they lose sight of the fact that it is God who provides. And this petition and the prayer is to be a daily reminder to us of our utter dependence on God. You can store up your food for the future. You can save your money for the rainy day. But it all has to be qualified. God, I will only enjoy those things if that is your will, your desire for me. When people stop trusting in God and instead trust in the government or trust in the economy or trust in their employment or whatever else it is that they trust in, they're trusting in things that can be gone in an instant. There is only one who is truly trustworthy, and that is our God. So consider the extent of your need. And thirdly, consider the frequency of your need. Seems a bit strange for Jesus to tell us to pray every day for our daily bread. In our day and age, that almost seems redundant, doesn't it? Why does Jesus tell us to pray this day for this day's bread? Well, that term, this day, speaks of now, this instant, this very minute. What do I need just now? What you need now is God's mercy and God's grace. To sit there in your seat and breathe is a gift from God. You're depending on Him. Now. You see, when we make this petition, it's an admission before God that I can't survive even this very minute without your sustaining power, Heavenly Father. But then, of course, it's not just this instant, it's not just the here and now. The same thing applies to tomorrow. The daily speaks of frequency. It speaks of how often we need to be bringing our needs to God. You see, we don't just need God's provision here and now. We need Him every day, every instant, every minute, We will need him just as much tomorrow as we need him today. There is not a single moment of your life where you can exist without God. And when you pray this day, our daily bread, you are acknowledging that before him. Think for a moment about how things work in your house. How would you parents feel if the only time your children spoke to you was when they wanted something? All the rest of the time, they never spoke to you. No conversation, there was no dialogue. It was just when they needed something, they came along to you. How would you feel during all that silence? You would be thinking about all the things you were providing for them that they had forgotten about. The roof over their head, the food you set on their table, the heat, the light, the clothes, the list goes on. But it's only when they have some special need that they come. That would annoy you, wouldn't it? But isn't that what we do with God? We just come to him when there's some particular need. And here Jesus is saying, it's every need. We need him for everything. Now, the wording of this verse may not appear to be like a thank you, but really that's what it is. It is an acknowledgement that God has been providing things for you every day up to this point, that he is currently providing for you, and your prayer is that he will continue to provide for you. And in that acknowledgement, you're saying, thank you, God. And we know how good it is to say thank you for the things we receive. You give your child a gift and you expect them to say thank you. Fourthly and finally, do you know the depth of your greatest need? Do you know the depth of your greatest need? Jesus tells us to pray that God will give us this day our daily bread. Over the years, people have come up with all kinds of things that Jesus supposedly means by this. All sorts of crazy ideas, things even to do with the end times and all of this. But the simple thing is, it's as simple as our daily bread. What is bread? Bread is a staple food. Across the nations of the world, it is a common food. Without bread, the world would starve. It is an essential need. Jesus didn't tell us to come and pray, God, give us today some steak. It'd be nice if he did. But we don't need it. But we do need daily sustenance. And that's what we're looking for. The essential basics. And what are those really essential things that we need? Food? Family? Shelter? Yeah, those are pretty basic needs that we have, aren't they? But are they our deepest need? You know, when Jesus was on the earth, he said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He didn't have shelter. He didn't see any need for it. With regards to family, it's great to have family. It's wonderful to have family. But Jesus also told his disciples, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Sets it into perspective. There is something we need that is even more value to us than family. What is this thing? What we need more than we need anything else is Jesus Christ himself. We need the bread of life. John 4, verse 31, meanwhile the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. You see, here is our deepest need. What we need more than anything else is to have our souls saved from eternal damnation. Because if our souls are not saved, the rest of it all pales into insignificance. You could sit down today to a luscious banquet and drop dead in the middle of it with a heart attack. What use would that banquet be to you if you weren't saved? If you weren't ready for that instant call of God. So the most basic need that we have is the need of Jesus. We need to have our souls saved by him. And if you're sitting here today in this meeting house and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then I appeal to you. Do something about it before it's too late. And remember that the Bible says this is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. You young people, it's not in so many years' time whenever I've enjoyed the world for a while. It's today. How many young people head out in their car in an evening and never come home? You cannot survive one moment without God's sustaining grace and power on this earth. And without Jesus as your Savior, you will go to an eternity of despair in hell. Your most basic need today is salvation. And then having given your life to the Lord, looking to him with thankfulness for every other day that you experience, giving him the praise and the honor and the glory that he is due. Let's just bow for a moment's prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this little verse that we have been thinking about. We thank you for that prayer that you taught your disciples. But Lord, here is a verse that speaks to our very soul's need. Give us this day our daily bread. And we recognize that the bread that everyone here truly needs is the bread of life, Jesus Christ. So if there's someone here today, Lord, who doesn't know Christ, please speak into their hearts. Help them to feel the guilt and the shame of their sin. Bring them to Jesus, that they may feed of him this day. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. In closing, we sing together from Psalm 132. Psalm 132. It's the stanzas 7 to 11 of this psalm. And the tune is Evening Prayer, number 246. Psalm 132, 7 to 11. For the Lord in truth to David swore and will not turn from it. Of the fruit of your own body I'll place on your throne to sit. If your sons will keep my covenant and the statutes I make known, surely then will their descendants sit forever on your throne. In stanza 11, I'll make David's horn to flourish, my anointed's lamp prepare. I will clothe his foes with shame, but he a shining crown will wear. That's God's promise to all who put their trust in Jesus today. Psalm 132, 7 to 11. Let's stand to sing. Receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with all God's people, now and forevermore. Amen.